So, welcome to the next edition of the Rare Business Podcast. With me today, I have Scott Moorhead and Ryan McCarty, who are co-founders of a new business called The Culture of Good and also co-authors of a new book called Build a Culture of Good. So, hi, Scott. Hi, Ryan. How are you doing?
Wonderful. How are you?
I'm splendid, thank you. Very, very, very well. So, Scott and Ryan, could you, for the benefit of our listeners and readers, can you tell us a little bit about you and a bit about the sort of work that you do, just to give us a bit of background?
Sure. I'll go first, Ryan, if you don't mind. This is Scott Moorhead. And, you know, along with being the co-founder of Culture of Good, which is a new venture for myself,
mm-hmm.
and launching the book, How to Build a Culture of Good, I'm also the owner and CEO of a company called TCC, which is a wireless retailer for Verizon Wireless and mm-hmm. has been for about 20 years. I've been the CEO of that business since 2008, which is the same time where I bought the organization.
Mm-hmm.
And you run and operate about 1,150 retail locations across 41 states and have a bit north of 3,000 employees. So, you know, it's a business venture that keeps me busy, and Culture of Good is an offshoot of that. So, you know, I come at Culture of Good not as an academic or a theorist, but as a practitioner.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and my background is before meeting Scott was in doing church and missional work. I actually became a pastor at 19 years old,
mm-hmm.
full time, and so that was my background before meeting Scott. Was all nonprofit work, and for the first 3 years after Scott brought me on to his company at TCC to lead this Culture of Good, what began as a movement in his company. I was bivocational, so I was living in both the nonprofit and for-profit sectors for the first 3 years of the beginnings and creation of the Culture of Good at TCC.
Okay, perfect. Now, you know, we're talking about this. We've mentioned it already, but you have a book. It's recently out. It's called "Build a Culture of Good: Unleash Results by Letting Your Employees Bring Their Soul to Work." Now, I mean, I really like the very idea of the book, but I mean, it'd be great if you can tell us a little bit more about the book and sort of how it came about, its central thesis and so on and so forth, and who's it for? What's its kind of purpose? What do you aim to do with the book?
Sure, I'll tackle that, and maybe Scott has some more perspective on it. So when word got out that the Culture of Good had impacted TCC's business, we started receiving calls from companies asking us to help them build a culture of good in their company as well. And we knew that in order to grow this movement, we needed to share the story
mm-hmm.
of how it all came about, where Scott and I had met, kind of our backgrounds and how it was introduced at TCC, why it was introduced at TCC, and then its impact, and really being able to share what we had learned from our failures and successes as we were attempting to build a culture of good at his company. And so it kind of became a case study of how it worked at TCC and why it matters to other companies as well in terms of their success and growing their business, but also igniting positive change in the world. And so it's really for employees and employers who want their work to have a significant impact on the world through igniting and inspiring change and transformation in their employees and in their customers as well. So
mm-hmm.
That's my perspective on how it came about. I don't know if Scott, if you want to add anything to that.
Well, Ryan pretty much said it all in a broad stroke, and I'll add a little flavor that Culture of Good started as an employee engagement tool.
Right.
And it started as doing the right thing for the right reason at the right time,
mm-hmm.
Without a lot of expense added to the business, if any at all. And, you know, through lots of trials and tribulations and shortcomings and misgivings and some success along the way, we found what we thought to be a pretty nice formula that you know, it had impacted the business in such a positive way mm-hmm. that we knew that we had a story that we should share.
Okay.
And so the story became the book, and our intentions with the book is to help other companies achieve the same positive results in their business, allowing their employees to have a better experience and pulling their customers closer to the business and for that entire company's cause.
And I mean, if I can back up a little bit, I mean, why a culture of good and sort of why now? Was there any particular catalyst, or is it just feel like that you stumbled on something, you just go, this matters and therefore we want to do this? Or was there any particular kind of reason that you decided to go down this path, as it were?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. So the reason why Ryan and I co-wrote the book is because we came to an agreement very early on that we were going to work together. And I do believe that in the very, very beginning that we had the same intentions, but we had completely different perspectives on it.
Right.
I was trying to use Ryan for his authenticity to the message of doing good. And using him as a spokesperson to my employees so that they would believe that the promise that we were making about doing good as a company would be taken with a great, as if it was genuine.
Right.
Ryan was using me to touch more people's lives and more people's hearts right out of the gate, because we had thousands of employees and his impact was going to be widespread. So he was touching people's hearts, making their lives better. I was using Ryan for his authenticity and his genuine message so that they would, my employees would more believe that this promise we were making would not go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That was the catalyst in the very, very beginning. You know, we were trying to give employees a great deal of passion for their day. And Ryan gave a message about what equaling why in your life. And that was something that I was searching for my company and my employee mindset for quite some time. And so I sought out his engagement mm-hmm. for free, because he was a pastor at a church,
right?
And I said, man, what a better mentor. I don't have to pay him a dime.
So Scott and I sat down over chips and salsa after a weekend engagement where I was speaking on your what equaling your why, and we sat over the chips and salsa and the stories in the book Build a Culture of Good as well, which is, it's pretty funny, because Scott was seeking out free advice and he asked if I could offer anything or any advice to him in terms of how to create the kind of culture where employees were coming and loving their work and knowing why they do what they do every single day and discovering meaningful, fulfilling work. And my advice was really simple to him. It wasn't free. It was hire me.
Right.
And that was kind of the beginning, or the kind of the spark that started this snowball rolling down the hill or whatever. And it really, it was really one of those moments that, that kind of launched the idea beyond just theory, and we got right to work.
Okay. So Ryan, are you still a pastor as well?
I'm ordained as a pastor. I'm not a full-time pastor any longer. I serve on the board of the church that my wife and I started originally, that I was pastoring when Scott met.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm full-time working the culture of good and leading this organization with Scott now.
Excellent. So mm-hmm. I wonder kind of this kind of formula that you alluded to. I mean, I know it's like a philosophy and approach, but it's got like these three intersecting kind of elements, you know, customers, employees, and cause. I mean, sort of to bring this whole culture of good approach to life, I mean, can you tell me kind of a little bit more about those and kind of how they all link together, how they manifest themselves, and then it'll put more meat on the bones in terms of what you're advocating.
Yeah, I can address that first and talk to the the way that those concentric circles formed together. Mm-hmm. And it was a little bit by happenstance. And it was through a major event at our company.
Mm-hmm.
And we had put forth this entire platform of culture of good, trying to get the employees to care more.
Yeah.
Ultimately, rubbing that off onto the customers, and the customers hopefully taking that experience back to the community and sending us more customers.
Yeah.
Therefore, that circle just sort of flows together.
Sure.
But what we found was, ultimately, in the beginning, we gave them localized regional budgets to get involved in their communities. We gave them the autonomy of choosing an organization for them personally to take a paid day off as an individual.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't working. People were not utilizing the budgets. They were not taking their days off. And we had a corporate event that was orchestrated and highly curated where they just had to show up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a backpack giveaway where we were going to give away backpacks filled with school supplies across the country out of every retail store we had. And we were going to do it all on the same day at the same time. And, you know, that simple act of giving away free backpacks and not charging for them, not having anybody buy anything, not adding any coupons into it, just handing a child that is wanting a new backpack for school, a free backpack, and telling them, the only thing you have to promise me is that you're going to go to school and rock it out.
Nice.
And that day turned what was a platform that was probably on a poster someplace, and it was in an email form, and it was a PowerPoint presentation. It was in a lot of people's minds. It moved it from their minds to their heart.
Right.
And we had so many employees come back and say how impactful that day was on them. And we immediately saw people start to take their paid days off. We saw them start to use the budgets regionally and bound together to get involved in their local community. We started to tinker with the idea of there must be a reason why that event kickstarted this, and there has to be a way to define why it worked. And if we can figure out why it worked, then we can go at it hard again and again and again and again.
Right.
And this will work. And that's where it dawned on us that we had to define who our employee was and define who our customer was and define why that particular event, which had a cause associated with it, why did those things all come together perfectly and seemingly matter.
Mm-hmm.
And so in our company, we have retail sales folks who are younger, and they're all extroverts, meaning they get their energy when they're around people, and they like to be around crowds.
Sure.
So, you know, we brought a crowd of people to our retail environment, and it just got everybody really excited. And because of the way our business is, a wireless store, particularly for Verizon Wireless, is all I can speak to.
Yeah.
You know, when you have a Verizon Wireless branded store out there, there's a particular circle that store is supposed to support.
Sure.
And that's a three to 5 mile radius, we'll say, on average. And that becomes your community.
Yeah.
And so it made sense that we were going to reach out to that community, and that was who was going to be our base. And,
right.
And we needed to get involved with that community. And then it made sense that our customers came in, and what they were seeking was not hardware and cases and cords, and so to speak. It was a connection.
Yeah.
You know, you come into a wireless store and you need to find a connection to other people. So we had people in our stores that got energy from people and serving a community that was rather defined. And our customer was out seeking connections to other people. So we said, man, something about supporting the community and the people where we do business on a hyper local level makes all the sense in the world. And we had done that through children.
Yeah.
So we went back in and said, okay, What if we do it to teachers? Every single community where we have a store has a school.
Yeah.
Those schools have teachers, and those teachers have a need. So we put together a Teacher Rocks supplies giveaway.
Right.
And it worked again. And it worked again, and it was a great deal of impact. And so we knew that we had defined where these circles met, and they had become concentric, and where your cause and within your business plan and your strategy, particularly on a commerce level,
mm-hmm.
meets where your employees, who they are and what they care about, meets your customer and what their needs are and what their wants are out of your business, and where that meets the cause becomes the sweet spot. And once you find your sweet spot, we've said that that's uncovering your company's soul.
Right.
That's where your soul, every company has a soul. And just some companies haven't bothered to find their soul in quite some time.
Sure.
And they haven't, nor have they potentially even defined it.
So right.
That was what we found out. And we had gone through and had many discussions with other companies in other industries and efforts that they had that didn't work, and you know, applied that logic to our system on why it didn't work, and said, boy, they missed the sweet spot. It was
right.
pretty obvious. And was where we started, and that ultimately became the methodology of how to get your culture of good going from the beginning.
Yeah. I mean, do you think that the, I'm just listening to the story and thinking that what a great story, but so the idea that you started with, you know, enabling, you know, your employees, your staff, members of your team to go and almost like volunteer for other organizations that they know and care about and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But there wasn't necessarily a lot of uptake. But then you kind of then started doing something which was a coordinated effort, but it was coordinated by yourselves. Do you think there's mm-hmm. there's a thing around commitment and intent? That's almost a bit like the employees wanted to see the organization show up. You know, supporting kind of paid days, kind of volunteering is great, but almost it doesn't necessarily require a huge amount of effort, if you know what I mean. And so it's almost a bit like building the trust or the relationship with the employees to be able to do that.
Yeah, and I think, and I'll speak to this as well, I think absolutely, to just offer paid time off or, you know, the opportunity to go volunteer is quite different than someone like Scott or another business owner really fully intentionally running their business through this culture.
Sure.
So that the employees understand that this wasn't just going to be a moment here and there where we were going to go do good together.
Yeah.
But it was going to have a consistent predictability, that the employees knew this wasn't a flavor of the month type program or a CSR program that was built around some type of PR effort.
Yes.
That this was really going to be the business driver for the company,
mm-hmm.
And how, as the company grew, that the culture would grow with it. The culture of doing good and inspiring employees and igniting positive change. And that would impact the bottom line. And as the company grew, so it was necessary early on to ensure that the employees knew, as Scott said, that this was something that he as the owner,
mm-hmm.
And leader was fully committed to, so that the entire organization could embrace it and embody the culture moving forward. Otherwise, it would have been considered just, you know, like I said, something that was just a quick effort and would be forgotten shortly after, which I think happens quite a bit in a lot of companies.
No, I think that's kind of fair. And so what has been the impact in TCC?
We've got a host of statistics that we can rattle off.
Go on then. Give it to me, gentlemen.
I'm going to give you a few.
Okay.
Because I think over statistics is boring. So I'm going to try and give you what I feel like is impactful.
Cool.
Since we've launched Culture of Good, our overall corporate turnover has reduced
by about 40%. So
in retail, typically the turnover in our industry is bad.
Yeah.
It's not uncommon for a retailer to turn over 100% of their full-time employees on an annual basis.
Wow. And okay.
Our peers are within that standard. Mm-hmm. And our typical annual turnover has been in the 60% range, which once you attribute the lack of productivity, the recruiting mechanism, the onboarding, the new education, all of those things, and you've got about $12,000 per head that employee turnover costs us. So by reducing it by 40%, we estimated we've saved ourselves about $5.7 million a year.
Wow, nice.
Which is pretty intense. Since we've launched Culture of Good, our same-store sales in an industry that seems to be plateauing, which is wireless retail.
Yeah.
The customer is not going to the well to get a new phone quite as often anymore, particularly now that they have the chance to own their phone and lower their bill.
Mm-hmm.
The phones are not innovating as fast anymore. So we're in an industry where sales seems to be slowing down. And overall, in our corporate footprint, our same store sales over that time has gone up by 42%. So we are gaining market share from the competition. And we believe that is partially due to better employees staying longer and being involved in our culture of good. So that those two particular stats, I think, are meaningful and speak to the relevance of culture of good and its impact that it can make on a company of any sort.
No, I think that's go ahead.
I was just going to add real quick as well. We survey employees and anyone who knows anything about millennials. One of the things that they have a desire to do is work and do business with companies that share a common value or their values for social responsibility.
Sure.
And 85% of the employees at TCC are millennials.
Mm-hmm.
And the largest workforce generation currently right now in across the board are millennials. And so in doing the survey, we found that 93% of those employees that work at TCC felt that the culture of good shared their values for how responsible business should be done and where they wanted to work. And so immediately you have a type of engagement that's not so much a company that has a business owner that writes a check and takes a picture and says, come work for us and feel proud of where you work. Look at the good we've done together.
Yeah.
But rather, this is something that's shared, which is really unique because we're taking those big checks and we're ripping them up and we're giving the resource and the time and the ability and the permission for the employees actually to share this common value of going out and impacting the world and doing this good collectively. And so where there's that shared value, I think, is what makes the culture of good unique and speaks to why the type of impact that it's had on TCC has actually come about.
Yeah. So, I mean, let me ask you this question, gentlemen, because I think the results speak for themselves. And I think there's also a lot of support for a better way of doing business. I mean, and that's evidenced by the amount of media support that you've received around the launch of the book and, you know, the establishment of Culture of Good as a new enterprise. But I don't think we still see a lot of evidence that organizations are sort of transforming themselves despite all their sort of broad support along the sort of the lines that you're advocating. I mean, what do you think is stopping many organizations sort of almost thinking about a better way of doing kind of business and building, say, a culture of good?
That's an awesome question. I would answer that with a couple of different comments. So I think it's become extremely normal in our society, particularly here in the U.S. is what I can speak to, that you've got two extremes. You have the for-profit sector that the ultimate goal has been defined as returns to the shareholders. And we've gotten in this quarterly cadence where if you can't move the bar in a quarter, then it's just not acceptable. So you have to abandon any particular long-term idea in exchange for a short-term win.
Right.
And so that is in quite opposition to the nonprofit sector, who is governed by a certain set of rules by the governmental sector that says you can only have so much expense ratio, and you know, then the people who are willing to donate to you get a chance to check out your expenses. And if you hire great talented people, which didn't cost a lot of money, then I'm not going to give to your cause.
Right.
So it's almost like they're set up to fail by a crappy standard. So you've got these two extremes that society has sort of sunk into the groove. And you can't. It's hard to live in the middle.
Yeah,
which is where Ryan and I's story is about. You know, you can be for profit and do good, and it can be good for your business. But you know, it takes the unique set of circumstances that Ryan and I have in our backgrounds, and how we came to be, and the trials and tribulations we experienced in our life. Where Ryan is 1,000% dedicated to making the world a better place and giving people a fullness in their heart. And I had owned a company that had done very well and experienced a near life taking accident. Said, you know what, I'm going to make this part of my legacy. And I did that early on in my life. And that unique set of circumstances allowed us to fight through what would have been a very, very easy thing to give up on.
Yeah.
And finally taking 2 to 3 years to get this thing switched around and figuring out, once we look back at it, what worked and showing the results. Now you have a company that you can point to if you want to install your own culture of good and say, look, these guys did it. Here's what it looks like. We can define it from soup to nuts and show you what the vision is and make it make sense to people. And then they won't run away from it.
And I think
there's just a lack of companies that have that tenacity, and they give up for their short-term wins so that they can meet their quarterly objectives.
Yes.
And that's a safe place to be. And Ryan and I chose not to be safe. We chose to be unique. And we think that it's worked out for our favor. And now we choose to try and get people to emulate what we've done.
Perfect.
And I would say too, I mean, when we're talking to companies, it's not that companies don't have a heart to do good.
No.
You know, it's commonplace anymore. What we have found is that companies are tackling their employee engagement, their customer management, and their CSR programs as three totally separate. I mean, you'd have them in totally different buildings if you could.
Sure.
You know, governed by different groups of people, rather than seeing those three things as very aligned and very purposeful for each other. Mm-hmm. And there's no real accountability between the three. And so there's no overlap. There's no connection between employee experience and the customer management and the good that the company wants to do, if they do have a soul and they do have a heart to do. And we find companies that are just frustrated in the same way that Scott was initially, of giving and offering a lot of opportunity. And we know that millennials want to go out and change the world and do all this good. And then when you give them that opportunity, it, you know, employees just aren't showing up for that stuff. They say it, but they're not showing up for it. And the biggest hurdle, I think, that companies, if they can identify, is the fact that those three ideas of a cause, customers, and employees should not be siloed off from one another. That if a company could bring those three things and align them and create accountability between the three of those, that's really where we start seeing that sweet spot in the success of what we had. But it really does come down to taking that risk, and Scott was willing to take that risk, and from that saw wonderful results, and that's what we're trying to share.
Fantastic. I mean, it strikes me that, you know, I hear lots of stories and, you know, have lots of experience of you know, companies that have said, oh, we empower our employees, or we enable them to do such and such and so forth, and then get frustrated by when things don't happen. And it's almost a bit like sometimes when you want to encourage somebody to do something kind of new, sometimes you have to show them what that means and how to do that to get them started. It's almost like they have to learn how to be a different way.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say that for sure. I think the culture of good is more of a way of life for a company rather than just insert this program and create this change. It really does require a level of commitment toward it, because there has to be that predictable cadence. There has to be ongoing culture building. There has to be management of it. And that's what we discovered as well, that it really takes everyone doing this in order for it to work. You know, we define culture as what most of the people are doing most of the time. And if most of your leadership doesn't see the correlation or the connection between those three, the cause, the employees, and the customers, then it would fail. But if when you start to see the connection between the three rather than siloed off, then that's where the sweet spot happens.
Fantastic.
Yeah, Adrian, I think you're totally right. And you've got employee days off and giving back, that enablement is happening in a lot of companies. And all the way on the other side, you've got, okay, we're going to get together and we're going to go to a soup kitchen, or we're going to go build a Habitat for Humanity house, and there's a big corporate event. There's nothing that ties it all together. You know, the employees have to feel like they're doing something that matters, and you have to link it back into the business.
Yeah.
And it has to be tied together with something, so that, you know, every day when they come in, that promise that we're going to do more good is just present.
Sure.
And it has to be, it makes their bad days a little bit better, and it makes the good days just a little bit happier, because they know that they're showing up for a bigger reason.
Yeah.
And that promise has to be there. That's why that you can't let these things happen in silos. And that's why when we started with the autonomous personal days off, it didn't work.
Yeah.
And, you know, we didn't remove that and replace it with a big giant corporate event. We put it all together, and we got very, very lucky that we didn't do a big giant corporate event where we planted a bunch of trees, because it wouldn't have mattered to our employees as much as serving the communities where we did business.
Sure.
That just happened to be part of the definition. And, you know, when we looked back, we just sort of, it was one of those moments where you're just very thankful for doing the right thing on accident.
Yeah. No, well, that's great. You know, it almost kind of feels like if you do something that is very, as you say, it's hyper-local, so it's almost a bit like your employees get to feel like they're benefiting people that, one, they might know, or two, they might live next to, or just doing something positive in the local community. Then,
well, that hyper-local part, Adrian, worked for us.
Yeah.
But that doesn't have to be a part of every single instance of culture of good.
No. Okay. But that just happened to work for you guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, because it spoke to where TCC did business.
Right. Okay.
So it has to make sense to the core business of
it spoke to
the
our
organization.
Business, it spoke to our business model.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's other companies where their business model is more international. Maybe it's more to do with healthcare. Maybe it's more to do with food service. You know, and you could go through and try and define your own culture of good and where those concentric circles meet and find your own sweet spot. I don't want to give the indication that it has to be hyper-local, because I don't believe that to be true.
Okay. So if I was to ask you, though, to say, if I've got some people that are either maybe reading kind of the highlights that I've written up after we've published this, or they're listening to this interview, and they're thinking, I like the sound of that, where should I start? If I was to say to you, Scott and Ryan, kind of what would be your first kind of like bit of advice or first instruction to people that are listening to this saying, and they want to get started on defining their own or building their own culture of good, what would you say to them?
Well, the first step is always to go get chips and salsa.
Yeah.
Always.
That's how it started for us. So that's the beginning.
There's something very magical about chips and salsa, but secondly, it is to, I believe that the very first step is always to define what your sweet spot is. So, you know, get in front of a big whiteboard with as big of a team as you can get and start to define who your employees are on every level. Define them and then boil that down to what the essence is.
Right.
Define who your customer base is and that essence. And then define what your business plan and your strategy is. And then find a cause that makes all of those things propel.
Right.
And if you can do that, and then start to build the long-term vision of what that could look like in the end state, then you've got something very, very special. And, you know, we've had many, many companies already say, you know what, that's the part that I think is very crucial, and that's the part that I want your help with.
Right.
And so as a shameless plug, Ryan and I have gotten pretty damn good at it.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll ask you to pause there, because I'm going to ask you to do the shameless plug at the very end. So just so it kind of, because
we're getting close to the end.
Yeah, no, we are getting close to the end. I have two questions, but you've just kind of put the last one first. But I actually want to push it to the end because I want to leave it kind of so it's fresh in people's memories. But the question I want to ask you before we get to that is just for your perspective on something, because I published a book. Yep. Last year, and it was called How to Wow. And what I've been doing with the podcast interviews I've been doing is asking different people that I've been interviewing for their perspective on what is wow service or wow experience for them. So I'd be interested in your take on that.
Well, I can answer that in terms of how, are you referring to how to wow the employee or the customer or
your perspective is, I mean, How to Wow is, it was focused on, you know, how to deliver a great sort of customer experience. But the employee experience, I think, is integral to that. So, I mean, Ryan, your perspective from whatever angle is going to be valuable.
Yeah, I think giving someone a wow experience is doing things that other companies aren't willing to take the risk on.
Right.
And doing it for the right reason and giving your employees and customers a why.
Right.
Really giving them a why that speaks to something deeper than a financial transaction or a paycheck.
Right.
Really, really having a soul in your company and a heart to go the extra mile and create something for them rather than just for the business. And
right.
As the business grows, that continues to grow. But wowing people on a soul level, something deeper with a higher purpose and a meaning that goes beyond the temporary things that we inject into business and into companies to create a one-time experience. I think employees and customers and the world at large will be wowed by companies that are willing to be committed to an ongoing effort to impact the world in a greater way, but doing that through their lives rather than keeping that disconnected from them. And wowing people on a soul level, I would say for myself, is really kind of what I try to do and what we try to do at the Culture of Good.
Mm-hmm. I like it. Scott, anything you'd like to add to that?
So here's my elevator pitch on how to wow for within the context of Culture of Good, right?
Okay, sure.
So with the Culture of Good, how to wow is making an authentic promise to both your employees and your customers that you'll do the right thing for the right reason at the right time. and that's it. And sticking to it.
Yeah.
So, you know, make a promise and deliver on that promise to do the right thing for the right reason at the right time, just because you can.
Perfect.
And you'll be shocked at how many people say, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's really simple sort of stuff, but it's very, very powerful.
Right.
So, gentlemen, this brings me to my final question, and I think it's the one that you already know about, but I'm going to ask it to you anyway, because I always ask it at the end of these, funnily enough, always ask it at the end of these interviews. And the question is this: is there anything, and I can already guess the answer I'm pretty sure of, that you'd like to shamelessly plug?
Scott, you were already into that, so go for it.
So if there's anything we can shamelessly plug, it's our ability to help people with their culture of good. You know, I urge you to read our book, mm-hmm. buy the book, read the book, and you know, if culture of good strikes you, don't tinker with it and mess it up, because your employees will hate you for it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't attempt to make that promise and then take it back. And if you find yourself needing some help, go to www.cultureofgood.com and connect and reach out to Ryan and I and our team, and we'll help you make the best decision you'll ever make for your company.
Perfect. Gentlemen, that's been great. It's been fascinating. I applaud you on your journey and your efforts and you know, banging the drum for building a culture of good. I think it's about time, and I love hearing stories about better ways of doing kind of business and more impactful ways of doing business. And so I just want to say, you know, thank you for your congratulations on the book, and thank you for your time this afternoon and sharing your story with us. And yeah, just thank you, big thanks.
Thank you so much, Adrian.
Thanks for your time, Adrian. I appreciate it a lot.